The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Why don't you turn the noise down so I can sort myself out for a second? I mean, so turn the sound down for a second. Sort myself out. We don't have sound all through the thing. Is that better? Okay, let's try it. Okay. Thank you. So yesterday we had an ordination of a new monk, and many of us were here to rejoice. We now have Reverend Ho'un Vera, she who seeks for the truth within the Dharma cloud. Disciple of Reverend Master Koro. We're delighted. Congratulations. And thank you all who came and brought food and rejoiced generally and ate and were merry. It was lovely. So, now it's next day. And it's the festival of Manjusri Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva of wisdom. Sitting on the beast of self. Now this beast up here looks a bit like a pony, but it's supposed to be a kind of fierce lion-like creature. Sometimes the Chinese, in the ancient days, would have sort of unusual ideas of what certain animals look like. So elephants tend to look like big dogs. And Manjusri, this was sitting on a lion, it looks a bit like a pony, but that's okay. It's a beast of self. So that's what we just need to know, is that this represents our self-regard, self-partiality. They say. And Manjusri's beast is wide awake. He's always awake. And he's always present. We're always subject to selfishness. Our self that jumps up, grabs something. It's never gone. We never get beyond the possible arising of selfish desire, selfish impulses, sudden flash of anger or unkindness, grabbing something we really shouldn't. We're never immune to it. We can always have it arise. And it's what causes suffering, the selfishness. A well-known, the sudden arising of something. And we have the consequences. There's a well-known spiritual teacher whom I know, who many years ago, gave into an angry impulse. He got angry, resentful, and did something really dumb. Didn't hurt anybody, but did something dumb. And for years, paid for this. And even now, some people sort of suspect the person because they thought, how could this person do this and be a good teacher? One little selfish impulse, and you can get this consequence that goes on for years. As there's in one of our scriptures, it's talking about the precepts. It takes but a moment to produce a defilement whose calamities will fall down upon you incessantly. You think, oh God, you know, I can't do anything. I know I'm going to produce a defilement. Something horrible is going to, if I breathe, I'll break a precept and some awful thing will happen. Well, actually, you can't live that way. You have to, you know, relax a little. And sometimes we have a more subtle sort of gray tendency, you know, that we don't notice, especially a tendency of mind, a tendency to be critical, or a little critical thought arises constantly, looking for something to criticize. And we may not even notice we do that until we look and see, oh, look there, I'm doing it again. Constant little crabby, critical, ungenerous mind looking for faults in other people, or whatever it might be, you know, irritableness, or what can I get out of this situation, or whatever it might be, a sort of little drops of, again, the same scripture says, even though drops of water are minute, they gradually fill a large container. We may think it's not a problem to have this little crabby mind arise, but it's a habit of mind that we need to see and train with, whatever it might be, our particular flavor. All of us are kind of like Manjushri. We have wisdom and we have selfishness. We have our kind nature and we have our selfish nature. But they're not separate. It's not like we have two natures. It's really all one. But we ride the self, rides a saint upon a beast. He's riding his beast, which means he's trying to sit still and deal with the beast. He's not trying to squash him or kill him. He's just trying to work with the beast and see the beast getting ready to grab something or bite somebody and say no. All of us have both wisdom and selfishness. We can be a saint at one moment and we can be completely stupid the next. Anyway, I mean, maybe we're not, maybe it's stupid. We do something really dumb, maybe. Put it that way, it's better. Selfish impulse arises and we do something really silly that we might think, oh, whoops, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Perfect. Because we're not fixed as either one. We're not fixed as saints and we're not fixed as totally deluded, foolish people. We partake of both, which is actually liberating because we're not fixed as saints. We're not fixed as somebody who's really good. And we're not fixed as people who can't change. We're not fixed as selfish, deluded beings or whatever we might think of ourselves. I'm not stuck with me as I am. I can actually do something. And this means that on one hand, if we think, oh, I'm doing okay, you know, I'm meditating, keeping to the precepts, I'm a good Buddhist, being reasonable, you know, we can't afford to kind of just coast along thinking, we're doing okay, you know, I'm a fairly decent person. Because if you look closely, we see all kinds of little weeds, or little drops of water. You're thinking, oh, when you look closely, you think, oh, maybe I need to do more than I think I do. Maybe I'm not quite so perfect. Maybe I have work to do. And sure enough, there it is. Little drops of water that add up are little selfish habits of mind or of action. There's little things that we don't, oh, it's not a big deal. But actually, you know, especially with thoughts, little uncharitable thoughts, little unkind judgments, you know, little schemings to get something. And sometimes, of course, you make a great big mistake and it's absolutely apparent that there is a self. And we have fallen in the mud and we need to get up, wash off, you know, we have caused a lot of trouble. Hope we can learn something. We're not stuck with it. We can always wash the mud off, as it were, and get back on the path, get back on the beast. Any of us can make a little mistake. Any of us can make a big mistake. Any of us can lose our temper, grab something we shouldn't, break the precepts in some major way. We're not immune. Nobody is completely saintly, and nobody is completely bad, completely beyond redemption. Manjushri sits on his beast. He's tamed his beast. He's not galloping around with him sort of hanging on for dear life. He's trained his self, which means he sits still and watches his mind. Because that's what we do. That's the fundamental precept. It's the precept of mind. Watching what our mind gets up to. Because that's where it starts. You know, little selfish impulse. Let me do something or say something. But it's the mind that starts with it. And sometimes it's really subtle. So suddenly we find ourselves in the mud, think, how did I get here? But if we look back, there was that little mental impulse that got us there. So Manjushri is doing his training, watching his mind. But again, you can't sit there thinking, okay, I'm watching my mind, better not get up to anything, you know, because you can't move. You can't live that way, constantly being afraid to act or speak or do anything lest you make a mistake. You have to be able to live. You have to act act with other beings. You have to make choices. Sometimes you don't have a lot of time to decide something. And we can't keep the beast in a cage, as it were. We have to learn to work with it, harmonize with it, to ride the beast, not just shut him up in a cage and hope he goes away. Poor beast. We train the self with kindness and acceptance, because all of us have our selfishness. All of us have our pure nature, our kindness, our pure aspiration. And all of us have selfishness, anger, deluded views, ignorance, unkindness, and all that. Selfish nature is not a bad thing. It helps us to survive. Feeling that I'm a me, you know, get food, defend myself when I'm attacked or run away, you know, finding a mate and raising kids. I mean, it's all perfectly normal, innocent stuff, which is just like animals are completely innocent. There's nothing, well, almost completely innocent. There's nothing wrong there. But it's what we do with it. You know, we don't let our dog run around and bite the neighbors. And we try to train our own selfish impulses, because if we didn't, we'd have havoc, evidently. We have to train our selfishness. We can't just grab everything we want, any person we want, or fight anybody, you know, just because we feel like it or we're upset. We have to train our selfishness. But it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, it's nature. If we judge our selfish impulses as bad and try to be completely selfish, I shall be completely without a thought of myself, we become impossible. We couldn't live that way. We'd just be a self trying to not be a self. I. I'm so pure and so good and so unselfish. But it's ridiculous. We just end up being a self that's pretending it's not. What we have to do is to actually recognize our selfish side, accept it, and train it. Not try to be some unrealistic, inhuman saint, you know, who doesn't have a beast at all. A human being trying to do the best we can, not even trying to be the best we can be, but just trying to do the best we can at each moment, not getting stuck with some ideal of perfection, or if I was really good, I wouldn't have a self, I wouldn't have a beast at all. We've all got a beast, we've all got a self. And to accept it with kindness and not let it run our life, but not keep it in a cage, you know, accept it, and to work with it. To try to see where we're getting ready to act from selfishness, or where we're harboring angry thoughts or greedy thoughts or whatever. Anger arises, but if we nurture it and just build up resentment, it's a different thing from just having a little irritation arise and think, oh, okay, I'm annoyed. Just leave it be. Maybe I'll try and deal with it later when I've calmed down a bit. If we try to be too perfect and not have any anger, then we just have our poor beast eventually shut in his cage or just bust out and bite somebody. To do our best to recognize our impulses, to see them with kindness, to see our selfish thoughts for what they are, you know. Sometimes it's really obvious, sometimes a little more subtle. We might think, I'm going to be generous and virtuous and do this good deed. But if we're doing a good deed because we want to be a generous and virtuous self, it doesn't quite work. You know, we have to sort of be genuinely kind, you know, wishing to be kind, not just thinking, I will be a kind person today, or I will do this good deed, because it's a self trying to be a better self, trying to be a nicer beast. And it's actually just deluding ourselves, really. It still might be good to do the thing, but we need to see what we're doing, to see what we're thinking, to look at our mind, see what it's up to, without constantly obsessing about everything. Judgment. Judgment of ourselves, judgment of other people. When we see that we have a self, that we are selfish, that we do have greed, hatred, anger, delusion, unkind thoughts and all that, then when we see this happen to other people, we can be a little more charitable. A politician who says something politically incorrect and gets lambasted for it in the press. How many times have I said something really stupid, you know? Somebody, the teacher I mentioned who gave way to anger and then for years was criticized for this. How many of us have done something really dumb because we were angry, yelled at somebody, or just done something really unkind, ill-advised, and had lots of judgment fall down upon us because of that? Someone who gets into a fight, someone who gets involved with somebody else's partner, and then thinks, oh my God, now where are we? You know, all of us are capable of all of these things. And we can get all indignant and righteous about them, thinking, oh, look at that awful person who said that terrible thing, or you got angry, or, you know, carried on with somebody else. Well, these things cause harm. But to get righteous about them makes us feel that we're separate. I don't do those things. I'm a good person. You know, those people do those things. I don't do those things. People who exploit people in horrible ways, worse things like creating wars or, you know, selling children into slavery and that kind of thing. Horrible things. But these also are things that actually we would be capable of if we were in those people's circumstances, maybe. We don't know what it's like to be someone who does terrible things. Why do they do this? They're not that different from us, fundamentally. We don't know why. But if we can have a little compassion, while not condoning what people do, these, you know, the terrible things that happen, which we read about in the papers and see all the time, but have compassion for people who do these things, because a happy person does not do things like that. It has to be a really unhappy person who creates more suffering in this world. We might have been just like them, had we been in their circumstances. Maybe we have been just like them in the past, either in this life or in a different life. Who knows? It's not for us to judge and to say, they're different from me. They're separate from me. I'm not like that. Because we're all basically, fundamentally, made of the same stuff. We all have the same greed, anger, and delusion. Some of us may have massive anger because of things that happened to us in the past. Some people may have massive greed because of fear. Who knows? We may not like the things that people do, but we don't have to hate the people who do them. The Christians have this little phrase you've probably all heard, to hate the sin but love the sinner. Well, actually, there's a lot of compassion and wisdom in that. It sounds like a truism, but to hate the thing, the evil, the harm, the suffering that arises, maybe hate is too strong a word, to wish to help end it, to wish it were not happening, but not to hate the people who do these things, because that doesn't help. And it's so easy to actually, you know, hate a politician or to hate somebody who started a war, to hate some dictator or something, and look how awful that is. We don't know where people are coming from. We may not like what they do, but to hate somebody is to say, I'm not like them. I'm different. I'm separate. You know, to separate them off as the bad people, and we're the good people. And it's thinking that one is separate that causes all the trouble. Thinking that I'm a good person, separate from the bad people, you know. Or, I'm not a good person, I'm separate from the good people. It's more like what most of us feel about ourselves. To think, well, I have to protect myself, you know, I have to survive, I have to do all this. And yes, it's our natural impulse, and yet it's deluded. Because in fact, we may have to survive, we may have to do, you know, clearly we have to feed ourselves and raise our kids and do all that. And yet, the separating absence of compassion, that which separates us off, that makes us feel we're different from other people, they're different from us, that's the problem. And it doesn't help, because we're separating off people who already feel separate, because greed, anger, and delusion arise because we feel we're separate. Somebody who sells kids into slavery or bombs people or whatever has to feel separate from those people that they're harming, because they couldn't do it if they knew that fundamentally we're all just parts of one being. They're all just parts of one being. However we may feel, we're not separate from anybody or anything. And so, if we can remember that and just come back to that, it really helps us with this separating feeling or this impulse to defend ourselves, to get angry, to grab something. To come back to trusting that that is so, even when we feel that it's not, even when we feel separate, or we feel that everybody else is good and I'm bad, or that those people are bad and I'm good, or whatever it might be, to actually remember that in fact, we're all sitting on the beast of self, and all of us have that pure nature, as well as that selfish nature, and they're not separate. Manjusri sits upon his beast. The two are one. The pure aspect and the greedy, selfish aspect, they're not separate things. We're not kind of a dual personality. Sometimes we act on one, sometimes we act on the other. We're not set. We're not fixed as saints. We're not fixed as beasts. We're something in between. And sometimes we act on one, and sometimes we act on the other. And it goes back and forth. Because of changeableness, because we're not a permanent, perfect self or a permanent, horrible self, we can change. We can change our way of doing things. We can change our way of looking at things. We don't have to stay with what we know. We don't have to sort of think, well, this is the way I am. I've always been like this. Nothing's going to change. I have tried. Oh, a bit I've tried, maybe a bit. It's always this way. We can change, no matter what, no matter how hard we may have struggled or not struggled to try to change ourselves. We can change. It's never too late. Even with our dying breath, we can think, I'd like to do it differently next time. It'd be nice not to wait that late, but now we can do it. See our selfish impulses, to see our angry, judgmental, critical, greedy, unkind, uncharitable, fearful, all that. To see all those things arise and not to let them dominate us, not to completely believe them. That is just part of the picture. There's also Manjusri, this part that sits still, that can sit still. And we can do that. We can sit still with our angry, selfish, greedy impulses and not act on them. And we can see them with kindness. See them as just part of what we have. Not something to be got rid of, put in a cage, killed, disowned. Something to train with. Ourself helps us. The beast carries Manjusri, gets him around. Our selfishness helps us to find compassion and acceptance. Other people's mistakes, we can understand better when we see that we make mistakes. Ah, yes, I myself am capable of saying something really unkind or doing something really selfish. To remember that, to know that we're not that different, it really helps, because the more we can have compassion and not judgment, either of ourselves or of other people, the more we can relinquish anger and righteousness, and help the world to relinquish anger and righteousness. If we're just doing it on our own little way, to practice compassion for people who do terrible things, while not condoning them, obviously, but just to practice compassion. Sometimes, you know, I see something where someone's made a bad mistake and they're being torn to bits in the press. I sort of think, oh, poor person. No matter what they've done, just think, oh, God. You know, it's so sad because the tearing to bits comes from the pure intention that people not do that. But there's also the separating thing of, I wouldn't do that. This person's done this dreadful thing, but I wouldn't do that. We're all capable of just about anything, if given the right circumstances. And if we can just remember that and have a little compassion, I think it really helps. The things we find most difficult can help us most. We need our beast, because it helps us to find compassion and understanding of ourselves and others. We're not perfect, we're not saints, and we're not beasts. We can work on our salvation that creates harm. We can work to the good. We can aspire to practice kindness and realize the non-separation of us from everybody else, everything else, that we are all one being. To aspire to realize that. And in order to do that, if we live that way, if we practice that, if we live as though we were all one being, and you may have a little bit over here that's creating trouble, but I don't have to hate that little bit. No. But to live that way helps us to see that. And that is Manjusri's wisdom. And that's what we aspire to. Thank you.